Over to St. Matthew chapter 13. St. Matthew chapter 13. I'm going to read verse 36, 37, and 38. Then I'm going to jump down and read 44, 45, and 46. And there's a reason I want to read the first three verses of Scripture. It'll help us understand a little bit about what's going on in 44 and 45 and 46. That's what's on our heart this morning. And I appreciate the Lord enlightening us on His Word and letting us see the things that we need to see. And I certainly appreciate His love and His mercy. I was thinking about the song we sang this morning, "I Cherish the Old Rugged Cross." When I closed my eyes, it took me back almost 30 years ago, 15 years ago, some of the churches I was raised in, it sounded just like it did when I was a little boy. I'm not trying to crack a joke, but I'll never forget when I first got saved, one of the first tapes that I had, Brother Matter, was the Kingsmen. And they did a lot of cutting up. When they'd sing, they sang spiritual songs, and they loved the Lord. But every once in a while, that guy would get to testify, and it just got in my head. You know, I could hear it. And he'd say, "Boy, y'all can sing good. Y'all need to get a bus and hit the road." And everybody would start laughing in the crowd. And that was the first thing I thought of this morning. Boy, he was up in heaven hearing us sing this morning. He was probably telling us just get a bus and hit the road. I don't think I've heard church sound any better than she sounded this morning on all them red back hymnal songs. And I appreciate you for being here today. And it wouldn't have been the same if you wasn't here. It takes all of us together to make that sound that sounds like home to me. Old song we used to sing. And there's certainly several missing, and we miss them and wish they could be here. Keep praying for Sister Deb. We didn't take prayer requests. They'd found a few things this past week, some blood and things, and they're going to move forward the next few weeks with some things. And so we don't look at that as a negative thing, just praying that, you know, Sister Vicky sang this morning, the Lord's always right on time. He knows how to bring things to light at the time they need to, so they'll be took care of. In my mind, when I heard the news from Brother Tony told us yesterday, I got off the phone, and I'll share this, the honor and glory of God, and then we'll get on into the Scripture. But when Ryan was going to school at Kingsway, I had a real good friend. He's still in church today, and a lot of things have certainly happened to that family since then. But there was a guy that was running from the police or something and lost control of a car in a curve and hit her head on. They went through several months there, maybe even almost half a year. She went through a lot of surgeries. And in the process of that, they all kept wondering, well, why would this happen? Why would God allow that to happen? And why would God allow this? And they went in to check everything to see if she was okay. And they found a tumor on, like right there at the spine of her neck, and said if it hadn't been found, she probably wouldn't have made another 4 weeks or something like that. It wasn't long. It was 2 weeks, 4 weeks, something. And they was able to go in because she had that wreck and did that scan and found the tumor there. They was able to remove the tumor. She made it. She's healthy today. Still loves the Lord. Still going to church. And that's the kind of God we serve, you know it. It allows things to happen and turns things out for the good of those that love the Lord are called according to His purpose. I believe there's a lot of people in here that loves the Lord, and so I'm not putting Sister Debbie above anybody else, but I believe she's one of them that loves the Lord, so I just believe it's going to work out for her good. And I appreciate the Lord for looking out for all of us that way. If you're willing and able and you want to stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll start reading in chapter 13 of the book of Matthew, and verse 36. The Bible said, "Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and He went into the house, and His disciples came unto Him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And He answered, and He said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." I want you to notice in verse 38, I want to read it one more time, the field is the world. We'll move down to verse 44.
The Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And I believe that be all that we read this morning. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you once again this morning thanking you for an opportunity, God, to be in your house. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for every brother and sister in Christ, Lord, that's gathered together today, that you've given us the physical ability to be here to worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, I also thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here under the sound of our voices, never, Lord, known you as their personal Savior. Lord, you've been merciful to them, allowed them to come in your house once again to hear the gospel and give them an opportunity, Lord, to turn their life over to you and accept you as their personal Savior. God, we thank you for the good Holy Spirit we've been able to feel and the touch of heaven, Lord, we've been able to set in heavenly places this morning. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us, Lord, right now we'd get ourselves out of the way, that you might be able to use us, Lord, to feed your people and give us the message that's needed for this hour. Again, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for our family and our home. I pray, God, Lord, you'd be with these homes, Lord, where the devil seems to be trying to bust up. God, we know the church is only as strong as the family. God, we need more Christian families. We need stronger Christian families. I pray you to help Welcome Grove to remain strong. God, Lord, for a world that needs a church that's sitting on a hill, Lord, letting their light shine, Lord, that can't be hid. Oh, Lord, I want them to know that we're here. I'm not ashamed of the way we sing, or the way we preach, or the way we worship, but I'm thankful, Lord, when people come in here, they can say something's different about this church. And God, I pray, Lord, now you'd just touch in a special way. Take the message and touch hearts. Lord, I know the Bible said your word wouldn't return void. Lord, I believe a lot of times it goes out and it lands, Lord, where it needs to. But Lord, so many times it does not seem to be received in good ground. I pray, God, today would be the day, Lord, it'd land in good ground. We'd see some leaves sprout forth and some fruit and things come from this message. Again, I thank you, Lord, for all that you've done, that you're going to do. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we ask all these things. Amen and amen. I begin to think about chapter 13 here as we was reading last night. If you're much of a reader, when you start off in chapter 13, he's talking about the sower and the seed. And then when you get over there, it begins to talk about the wheats and the tares and the mustard seed and the leaven. And then he begins to explain the tares to his disciples. And they declared unto us, they said, Lord, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And then he began to let them know the field is the world. And so here we find ourselves in verse 44. And I don't guess I've ever seen it just quite like the Lord let me sit this morning. And be honest with you, I believe I might have been, I ain't going to say might have been, I believe I was wrong in the way I was seeing these scriptures up until the Lord began to show us this, because I don't believe in anybody can purchase the church except for one man, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible said that he bought us with a price. There, I'd always thought about this scripture. It's been talking about the loss and how that we need to sell everything we had and go and purchase the field. But I want to share something with you this morning. With the Lord's help, that the church is the treasure in the field. Amen. Thank be to God. There is a treasure still in the world. And there is a pearl of great price. Amen. And I want you to know there's a man that looked in the field, and when nobody else seen a treasure, Jesus Christ found a treasure. treasure in the world. Amen. Amen. I want you to know this morning, you might feel like you're not really worth much, but in God's eyes, you're a treasure. Amen. You're a pearl of great price. I begin to think about, I said he went to seek after pearls. Let me read this again. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven. How could he find the kingdom of heaven in the field if the field is the world? Because, friend, we are part of the kingdom. Amen. One place he said this, if you'll come in and sup with me and I with you, and he said we could be in him and he'd be in us. John the Baptist said this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You know who was at hand? Christ was at hand. Christ is the kingdom. And if you're in him, you're in the kingdom, which means the kingdom is in you. And that's what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen. Amen. So how can the kingdom of heaven be here? It dwells in the hearts of men. If you're looking for the kingdom of heaven to come floating down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband, you've misread the scripture. Amen. According to what I believe, and I believe Jesus knew more about the kingdom than any doctor does or any professor or any preacher. And he said, when son says, look a here or yonder, for there's the kingdom. Or lo, Christ is here, or Christ is yonder. He said, believe it not. He said, I send away, but I'm going to come back in like manner. Amen. As you see me go, Christ is not here, but he's coming back. And the kingdom of God, heaven's not going to come down, but when he comes back, we're going to go up. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm part of the kingdom, ain't you? The Bible said this. He said again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. You know why he said it was hid in a field? It's amazing to me, the true church is in the world and the world don't even know how precious she is. Amen. Without the church, this world would crumble. Amen. It began to decay. How can you say that, Brother Jeff? Because we're the salt of the earth. And because of us, thank be to God. Because we preserve some things. We got some morals about us. We got some standards about us. And because of that, it's holding this world to a standard to be godly. And because there's a treasure hidden in the field. Amen. Amen. The treasure in the field makes the field worth more if anybody knows that the treasure's there. Amen. And the Bible said this, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Now you might say, how could this be relating to Christ? When Christ taught in parables, he taught in a way that they could understand. And I was doing a little studying on this. Brother Mallard, it said that the chances of a man finding a treasure in a field was like 1 to 10,000 over in the children, over in Israel. But they said there was many a time where a man happened on somebody's field and found a treasure. But this was the laws in those days. And what I found in studying history, that if a man found a treasure in a field and he removed that treasure from the field before he purchased the field, then that treasure became ownership to the man that owned the field. Amen. So when Christ seen that there was a treasure in the field, he had tried to pull her out early. Praise the Lord. Even though he's the master of the sea, he's the God of the universe, he owns it all. Thank be to God. But he went to Calvary, bled and died for you and me, paid the price so that everybody know that we belong to him. Amen.
There was a treasure in the field, and he found it. The Bible said, and for joy thereof he goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. What all did Christ have? Friend, I'm fixing to tell you, he had the splendor of heaven. He already had it all. Amen. And he gave up all of glory. He gave up the splendor of heaven and all the admiration that they was giving him there to leave glory and come to a sinful world where man was. Take on a robe of flesh. Walk sinless among men and become that supreme sacrifice for you and me to pay the penalty of death, sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad he's seen a treasure in a field? Be no need in buying it if there was no value to it. But I'll tell you this. He said, and again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man. You know what a merchant man is? It's somebody that buys and sells. It's somebody that trades. Amen. Oh, this ought to get some of you excited. You know what he traded for me? His precious blood. Amen. He took my sins and gave me his blood. He took all my wrongdoings and gave me righteousness. He took away my debt and stamped it paid in full. Amen. Ain't you glad he paid your debt? See, it was like unto a merchant man singing, seeking goodly pearls. When you look at the word goodly, you remember over there in the scripture where the Bible said Moses' mother put him in a bulrush and sent him down the river, and she opened up the basket and said, has she seen a goodly child? Amen. I want you to know goodly means precious, beautiful, spotless, without a blemish. You know what the Bible said? That Christ is coming back after a bride without a spot or blemish. But she's perfect. She's without a flaw. And because of that, that's the reason the flesh had to be left here. It's because the flesh is what's done all the sin, not the spirit. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Bible said he's seeking goodly pearls. And boy, I like this. How many of you remember the scripture where it said he began to talk about the lady that lost, the man that lost his one sheep. And as the shepherd went and he left the 99 till he found the one. And then the second story, there was a lady lost one coin, and she swept diligently until she found it. And then there was a man that had one lost son, and he didn't know where it went. Amen. And at the end of that scripture, that one parable, if you'd have it, this is what was said, that there was rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner being saved. I want you to know this morning that Christ found a treasure in you and you're a precious pearl to him, a goodly pearl, and he would have died for even one. Amen. You ever heard somebody say that? He would have died even just for me. Fix and give you some scripture for that. This last one, notice in verse 45, Brother Mallard said he was seeking goodly pearls. You know why it says pearls? Because he comes seeking to save that which is lost. There's more than one lost person he come looking for. Amen? Is that right this morning? There's more than one lost person in the house today, I believe. And he's come seeking to save that which is lost. Listen to verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl, thought he was looking for pearls. But when he found one pearl of great price, I'm about to have a running spell. Amen. You know, I'm one pearl that Christ found a great price in, and you're one pearl that he found a great price in. What price was that? It was his life. He died. He spread his arms. He gave up his life. He laid it down for you and me that we could be saved and go to heaven when we die. You don't have to die and go to hell because Jesus found a great pearl. Listen to this. He went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. When you sell something, it means you give it away, right? Y'all ever sold anything? Y'all ever sold anything? That's why we're among the poor. Amen. I'm getting about 4 or 5 amens. We ain't selling that. We must have a bunch of garage and basements full of a bunch of stuff. Amen. If you sell something, means you give it up. And all Christ was trying to say, he was giving them a picture. And when he died on Calvary's cross, he gave up his very life for even the church. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. Christ is not for sale. Oh my goodness. The devil tried to buy him out when he got started in his ministry. 3 times he laid a pretty picture before him, and he took the scriptures and he defeated Satan all 3 times. And when he got done with him, the Bible said the angels came and they ministered unto him. I'm glad the Father knows when to send ministering angels to help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to come get a verse of song. I knew I wouldn't be long this morning. So many times, when you go back over and you look at these scriptures, they was tares among the wheat. They was leaven in the meal. Listen to what he said. The kingdom of heaven is likened to leaven. I can show you this. Everywhere in the scripture where leaven is mentioned, it's a representation of sin, cruelty, wrongdoings, wrong actions. It's never a picture of good. Brother EJ, it's never a picture of good. So even on all these scriptures, if we're not careful, I had seen there, and some men have made statements that the leaven was a picture of the gospel that had spread out through the dough, even though it was little. It was powerful, and it overtook the whole pile of dough. That sounds good, don't it? That sounds like that's the truth, don't it? That's not the truth. It's nowhere near the truth. Let me just say once and for all this morning, there's no sin in the gospel. There's no cruelty in the gospel. There's no wrongdoings in the gospel. And when Christ wanted the bread to be broken for him, he specifically said, leave the leaven out, because it wasn't a picture of Christ. Amen. So the leaven being in this lump is not a picture of anything good. Well, Brother Jeff, what could that mean? What else could that mean? In a big old world where there is a beautiful church, she's a big church. John said this, he said, I saw a number that no man could number. How many of you's ever made biscuits? Just say amen and raise your hand. How many of you's ever had 50 pounds of dough that you made up at one time? This is how much dough he's talking about here. So this is just not just ordinary morning of making biscuits. Amen. He knew how much dough it was. He knew they would know it was a lot. And I want you to know something. He wanted them to know that his work was going to be great. Amen. It was going to be big. It started out little. Right after he died, Peter preached on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls got saved. And it's been growing ever since. Y'all with me? But I want to tell you something. The bigger the church gets, the more chance there is for a little leaven to be in the church. The more wheat you have, you can just about guarantee there's going to be some tares in the church. Amen. So, kingdom of heaven. Leaven. You might say, Brother Jeff, ain't nobody over here. He's over here, old rascal, somewhere. I guarantee you he's somewhere close to the pulpit up here trying to bother me this morning. And you know if you're part of the leaven that snuck in the church and you're trying to hide out among this big pile of dough. Some people may not ever know. The Bible even said this. His disciples said, Lord, let us just tear the tares up. And he said, no. Don't go pulling the tares up. You might destroy and pull up some of the wheat. You know why? Man can't make choices. Man can't choose the difference between a wheat and a tare. And I'm going to tell you why. But a lot of people don't know this. Did you know that when you look at wheat, you look at a tare, you can't tell the difference between them? They look just alike. There's been a lot of preachers. It's turned out to be a tare. They looked like they was a wheat there at one time. Amen. There's been a lot of singers. Turned out to be tares. Been a lot of people went to church. Turned out to be leaven. You say, well, then if you can't tell the difference, what makes the difference between a wheat and a tare? I'm glad you asked. On the inside of a tare, it's an empty hole. It ain't got nothing on the inside. But on the inside of a wheat, you'll find the seed. And praise the Lord. And Jesus said the seed was the word of God. Amen. And the preacher sowed it. And it landed in Jeff Clark's heart. Praise the Lord. And I'm part of the wheat this morning. I hope you are. I'm getting where I like wheat bread a little bit here lately. Trying to eat healthy. Praise the Lord. I didn't know wheat could taste so good. You ought to try it, amen. I don't even know, some of you knows that you can come to church and you can get a good sweet taste out of church. I was trying to help you this morning. It's not about emotions. I don't want people to think we're just going to get emotional and get in here and leave. This is not about emotions. I believe if we got something on the inside, the Holy Spirit starts moving around. Here's what the scripture said, Jeremiah. This is the way it should be. This is the way the Holy Spirit should work. Shouldn't work when we decide to do something. But Jeremiah, he said, I'll tell you what, I'm just not going to say nothing else anymore, Brother James. He said, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Not going to say anything else anymore. The Bible said, but it got to stirring down his bosom like a fire shut up in his bones. I believe if you saved there once in a while, and I was to set a fire under your seat, you'd have to get up. Amen. If somebody set fire underneath, you'd have to get up and go to the altar every once in a while. You'd have to get up and testify every once in a while. You'd have to get up and go to the choir every once in a while. If you're a preacher, you don't have to get up and preach every once in a while. If you can just sit down and say, I ain't preaching no more, that's it, and you don't ever preach no more, you wasn't a preacher to start with. There ain't but three of us here, but I believe all of us believes the same way. If you can just sit down and quit preaching, you wasn't ever preacher to start with. According to Scripture, that's the truth. Jonah tried to sit down and say, Lord, I ain't going to Nineveh. And I'd almost hear God, let's see how that works out for you. A few days later, after a trip, a ride in the belly of a whale, he's ready to preach, wasn't he? It's amazing how God can get us fired up to do things that we say we're not going to do. If he's asked us to do it, we just need to do it. I ain't got no notes on here. Didn't even write down on script. Just had it marked this morning. The Lord showed me that late last night. I was just sitting there thinking about it. And then this morning I got up and flipped over to it and was just looking at it while I was waiting on Manning around him come down the car. And it's amazing. Sometimes you can study on things for days and days, and then other times just seem like God just lays it there. You've studied it before. You've seen it before. You've read it before, but you ain't seen it. I'll just be honest with you, just ain't seen it right. But I'm thankful when the Holy Spirit shows us something, I believe what I preach is the truth today. Ain't but one man can purchase your soul, and his name's Jesus Christ. And I want you to know he's here this morning. And I'm going to say this in a way I hope this don't offend nobody, because the Bible said he bought us with a great price, but he's coming here with a pocket full of money. And he's looking for some things to buy. How many of you ever goes through the store? I want to end with this. I have to be real careful. Amanda, she's better than any of us. I'm bragging on you this morning, honey. I ain't telling no stories on you. She can go in Walmart. She don't like being around to go grocery shopping, but Brandon, she can take a list. She can go in there. She can take a coupon. She can come out. She can do good. She knows exactly what she wants to buy. But I go in there, and I'm supposed to get bread and milk and ham and turkey and cheese, and I come out with donuts and pizza and a fishing rod because it was on sale. Amen. I can't hardly walk through a store with money and not pick up something. You know why? It's a deal. It was a deal, honey. Had four for a dollar. And so I have to be careful. I really do. Sometimes I say, Ron, won't you go up there and pick it up? So he goes, Dad, I don't want to go out again. I said, if I go up there, I'm going to buy something we don't need. I said, just go in there and get what we need. And he's bad as his daddy. He'll go in. Sometime and he'll come back. And I tell him, Brother Brandon, don't go over a certain amount the other night. And I said, how'd you do? And he said, I went a little over what you said. Do you know what he said? But, Dad, I got you some butter pecan ice cream. I tell you something, I know he loves his daddy. Amen. And God ought to know we love him. Amen. And he's come through this morning. He's looking for something to purchase. Some of us already belong to him. But he's wanting to purchase somebody this morning. He wants to pay for your sin debt. He died for the sins of the world, but you've got to receive this gift. He's not going to force it on you. Brother Darrell, you and the girls, I guess, fixing to sing one. Come on, y'all sing. Let's rise to our feet. If you're saved this morning, you say, Brother Jeff, I've already been saved. And I know there was a great treasure and a great pearl and great price. And I'm thankful you reminded me of that today. Don't tell me that. Tell him. He's one. How many of you ever bought something that was a piece of junk? How many of you ever bought it and you knew it was a piece of junk when you paid for it? Now, you might say, why would you do that? There's been a few times I went to a yard sale and I'd see somebody, and this little girl, I won't forget this one last yard sale I went to. I was going to deliver some parts for my business, and I was going by this little yard sale, and I really didn't have the money, but I was looking for a chair, a particular chair that Amanda wanted. And it's $20 or $30, Brother Nick, and every yard sale I see, I'd just stop and see if I can find one from somebody that didn't want it anymore. And it's slim pickings if you're going to find a particular chair in a yard sale. And I'd tried for months. So anyway, on this day I pulled up, this little girl, she come running out, and she said, you see anything you want? See anything you want? And that's why I'm looking around, and I found that chair, and I bought the chair. And the whole time she walked right beside me, Brother Matter. And she'd say, you sure there ain't nothing else you want? You sure there ain't nothing else you want? And I said, nah, I just was wanting this chair. And I could tell, boy, her countenance went down. And I asked her mama, I said, is she all right? She said, well, that's her stuff over in that pile, and this is my stuff. And she's trying to sell some of her stuff. So I just nonchalantly walked back over there, and there wasn't nothing on that table I needed. And I just started picking up, boy, her face just lit up. There's been a few times that I could tell that somebody didn't have much money. Maybe their kids didn't even have no shoes or socks on. I'd buy something, go to the house, and throw it in a trash can. They'll never know that. But I was trying to help them. Amen. Let me just say this morning, when Jesus bought me, I was a piece of junk. But to him, he saw treasure. He saw a great price. And I'm thankful he chose to buy me. Amen. He knew what I was. You know what the Bible said? He died for us while we was yet sinners. Christ died for us. Come on, let's sing. Brother Darrell, whatever's on your heart. How about it this morning? When we was nothing, He still paid for us. Come on. While they sing. God touch their hearts.